I would expect like some 20-year-old journalist, like college student, or some nobody to make up some story about that. But you're an accredited journalist. You're making money, right? Why do you have to lie about this? So in my head, I'm like, hold up. If this guy is lying about what's going on in the world and what's going on through his reporting, one,
Who else
how
is
many
it?
who else is lying? How many times are they lying? And like, what is the whole, what are we even talking about now when it comes to journalism? Like, what is journalism?
What is the truth?
What is the truth exactly? So like that, I kind of put the pause on that and said, you know what? I don't kind of like, and I started kind of doing more research on like CNN and how like a majority of news networks in the world are run by like the same five families or
Oh,
like
yeah.
something like that. It's like a single,
That's
it's like
it.
a single amount of
The
families that run like,
Rothschilds, the Carnegies, the Rockefellers.
something like, yeah. So, and from there I was like, you know what? Maybe like journalism and
They
news
say
isn't
that's
for me
what
like
like
that.
Succession, the show Succession, is about.
Yeah, something like that, right?
Nah,
So.
the one of the
I
forgot what it was called, but it was in Brooklyn too, but I
You
forgot
could
where.
introduce the pod, yo-yos,
Oh yeah.
before you incriminate yourself anymore.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, this is how we start our shows. I
We
didn't record that, by the way, all right? okay, you didn't record that?
No, I wouldn't
Okay.
do that.
What are
That's
you talking
fucking
about?
crazy.
Wait, so what are you talking about?
Nothing. I ain't talking about
What are you
nothing, my
talking
brother.
about?
I'm not even talking.
We got special guests here, and you trying to get me in trouble?
Never that.
Okay, anyway. So what's up,
Always think you're
everybody?
trying to go viral out here, man.
Oh
That's
yeah.
it.
Well, I mean, I don't want to go. That would be the saddest, coolest way to go viral for a crime that I did years ago, and it comes back to haunt me.
Yo, but that you know, regardless whether they hate you or love you, it ain't no business like show business, my
That's
G.
true, man.
Yeah.
So what's
Introduce
up?
our guest, my G.
Right. So what's up, everybody? So what's up, everybody? This is your boy Richard Picasso, and I'm here with the one and only G out of character.
Hey, yo.
And we have a special guest with us today. This gentleman I met at the One Trace Cipher by the famous one and only Steve Mules. Shout out to Steve Mules for, is it Mules or Mules? I don't want to mess your name up, but I know it's Mules, right? Am I saying it right?
I think it's like Steve Wells.
Steve Wells.
Yeah, Wells.
Mules.
I think so, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm not trying to say that in a funny way. It sounds cool. Like, Wells. Steve. All right, Steve. Shout out to you, Steve, for the White Trace Saver. We have our very special guest. So, you know what? I'm gonna let him introduce himself because this is a very awesome dude, and I feel like I'm gonna butcher. I don't want to butcher Mule.
There you go.
See, like I bet you did. See? Anyway, you can introduce yourself for
All right,
the
cool, man.
pod.
What's going on, everybody? My name is Mateo Mantilla. I am a I'm a podcast producer, videographer, photographer, and video editor, based out of New York City. And yeah, no, nah, man, I appreciate you having me, man. It's awesome.
Of course, man. So, this is also like kind of a semi-job interview because we're looking to expand our brand.
You know what's crazy? I was thinking the same exact thing on the way over here. I'm like, yo, this is like the craziest like pitch slash interview like I've ever been on. But like, I like that though. It's cool, and it's like it just shows you how like the world is changing. Cause like honestly, if I'm like, if I were to ever go, cause I've been on job interviews before, and like I've been on the phone with like like potential employers that like media companies I want to work for. I would much rather go and hop on a podcast with them. Like, let's say HR for like Barstool Sports or like, I don't know, like ESPN or some big time media company had like, hey, like we're gonna have a podcast just based on like for like job interviews to see if like you're, good enough for the job, like personality wise and like professionally wise. I'd much rather do that than do like a Zoom call or go like rounds of interviews. 'Cause Well, you know what's
it's
crazy
crazy.
though? In this day and age, you're right. In this day and age, not should you only would rather do it, but you like it would be a great additive or attribute to your character or your resume. Because in this day and age, you don't only have to do one job. You know what I'm saying? The artist don't only record the music now. He If you're on a lower tier, you got to worry about your promotion, who made your flyer, who made your cover, your sticker, your timing, when you go to perform. The engineer, like when I hear people's podcasts now, you brought up Rogan before. He's always like, "Yo, Jamie." And Jamie's the guy he talks to, right? You know, when you hear "Believe You Me," with Michael Bisping and Anthony Smith, they got Harrington, another dude there. You know, when you hear fucking all these pod, you always hear the guy that's working, the Brendan Schaub, he got chin. You know what I mean? You always hear people, the engineers behind, they have a personality.
You know what I mean? They have a
100%.
And then the double-edged sword is that sometimes the dude that's the incel and just does his job and don't want to deal with what you guys deal with on the other side of it, he's a monster too, because he never talks. He just sits there.
Just laser focused.
While you guys are recording and podcasting, he's already got 15, 20 clips already clipped up. How the fuck he did that? You know what I'm saying? Like, he already got everything already waiting for you to finish. Like, damn, I want to go home already. Gotta hurry up. You know, that's what I said. It's a double-edged sword. Because,
yeah, for sure.
But I think it plays to our attribute, though, because not only can I manage this, I can manage this.
Absolutely, you know? Yeah.
That's the bigger deal nowadays. How much can you manage?
Exactly. Yeah. Even me, like, one of the things I like about podcasting so much is that it's kind of like a free for all to a certain extent. Like, it's not so
structured.
It's not like restricted as much as a radio station or like a daytime TV show. Like, whatever goes. Whatever happens, happens, and your audience is really the one that dictates whether they like it or not and whether you should continue kind of doing it or not. You know what I'm saying? For podcast producers, I feel like podcast producers are the unsung heroes of a lot of big time podcasts. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about Joe Rogan, the Joe Rogan Experience. Young Jamie, right? Mm-hmm. Which is his producer. That to me is someone that I emulate a lot in the business. That I'm like, damn, like I want to be like at a Young Jamie mm-hmm. type of level because, one, he's very intelligent. If you ever hear him speak about some topics,
yeah.
like he's a good, not a co-host per se, but like someone that's someone that adds. To
plus, he got a little bit of a tinfoil hat.
For sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, he's very smart on what he's doing. You know, he's very knowledgeable of certain things. Because if you're gonna work for Rogan, you have to be knowledgeable. You have to know a decent amount about the things that he's talking about, because the Joe Rogan Experience is just like tangents of like 3 hours of just aliens and political stuff and like just going off of like an enormous amount of topics.
Yeah, the landscape is too vast to go ahead and walk in there and think for a half a second that, oh, we're going to talk about this today. I could just study about this tonight.
No shot. You have to know about everything. So that's why I respect Jamie so much, is because the amount of preparation and planning that goes into what that show is mm-hmm. you know, it's not easy. Even though he makes it look easy, it's definitely not easy. And on top of that, you know, equipment looks good, cameras are set up correctly, mm-hmm.
audio is amazing. Although there should never be an audio situation on there. Like when Joe be like, yo, I can't hear myself. I'd be like, oh, Jamie, you fucking up. Hire me.
No, but when does that ever happen though?
Oh, lately? There's a wire, that's how famous a nigga is, that people know what's going on with their own shit. There's a wire or something loose, a grounding wire, because at some points in time, Rogan can't hear himself on his end, or he's hearing a shh. So that means there's a grounding wire with the microphone or something like that where it's going into. Oh, and in sure. several episodes that has been mentioned, he's like, yeah, I got to change that. And he don't change it. Yeah, he says it, but he don't change it.
I mean, I guess, you know, like, shit happens also, you know. So.
Of course, though. Happens. Like,
they're like, what, like 900 episodes deep or something like that?
900, nigga. At least 900. I think them together over 1,000. Yeah, because it was Red Band beforehand.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
And Red Band was good, but I think the problem is that Red Band had his own ego attached to him. Mm-hmm. So after so long, you can't put that many wolves in the room. You put that many wolves in the room, eventually somebody's going to depict to be an alpha. And when there's too many alphas, an alpha goes that way, an alpha goes that way, and an alpha gets killed. You know, so luckily they were both successful in what they were doing, because Red Band's successful in what he does. He runs his own like program or channel with in the meta world. He has a room that's all green screen, puts like an outfit on and all that shit. He be chilling with people in the meta world, runs his own thing, he gets paid for it.
Yeah, that's crazy. Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So like, salute to him finding his way, but if it wasn't for his ego, I kind of think that he would have been greater next to Rogan. Yeah,
that's true.
I kind of think he would have been, but you heard it. You heard it when they were coming to the end. Like, the conversation started to be more like, as a producer, one thing that you can't do is argue with your host or argue with the person paying.
No,
he's paying us.
On air.
You can't.
Behind the scenes, yeah, sure, conversations can happen. You know, things happen, like nothing's perfect. But like on air, nah, you can't do that.
That's like a sacred law. You know what I'm saying? So it's like
Joe Budden situation.
God.
That was hard. That was bad.
That was really
fucking bad.
Well, you know what it is with Budden? Like, you know, it's called a spade a spade. He even admits to his faults after he commits the faults. You know what I'm saying? So he'll be in the middle of doing something he knows he's absolutely wrong and saying, doing, how he's carrying himself. Then he'll wait 6 months later to after the people are fired, no longer fuck with him, got a new cast, and be like, yeah, this was, I knew I was wrong when I was doing, or I was doing. See, he got this, he, whether he admits it or not, he has a narcissism about him. That in the moment, he's always just. And that's why that Maul and Rory situation, that's another situation where I consider a whole bunch of alpha males not understanding their roles. You know, Rory has his own Palooza thing going on. He does a mixtape thing, does the music thing. You had that. You were invited to this pod as a guest. Nobody, you know, you got to remember, if me and this nigga do 1,000 episodes, I knew from the very first episode, this was half and half. We knew this. It's called What's Up? We knew this. We both on the picture. It's not Joe Budden Podcast and Friends. It's not Richie Yo-Yo's and Friends. There's two people on the picture. We know it.
Initially, the pod was called Picasso's Basement.
You know what I'm saying? But what it is now, though. You know, like, and that's my point where what it was with them, they got to understand that. That podcast never changed to the Joe Budden Podcast with Rory and Maul. Yep. That shit has always been the Joe Budden Podcast.
Yeah,
so
yeah, even now it's not Joe Budden with Queens Flip and Ish and, you know, and
yeah, no, but you know why though, right? Because it's my network.
Yeah, it's the Joe Budden Network. Yeah,
what are we like? Sure. What are we talking about right now? Before this, it was Joe Budden TV. Before this, I was walking around with a little fucking camera. I got Wale, I got Nicki Minaj, I got Mano, I got shit with Tahiri, shit in the car, personal shit in the bed. I've been recording my life before y'all was even invited for me to talk about it.
Yeah, loving hip hop, all that.
So for y'all to be invited to talk about my life and other social things, I'm just inviting you into my brain. You guys have no right into what the catalog is worth. There's no reason, like, it's one thing to have discussions and opinions. We could do that on the pod. But you guys have no right to become bitter because I turned down a Spotify deal that was worth X amount of money and I didn't want to give away my likeness. Spotify offered them money. They got pissy.
Why didn't you take it, though?
Because they want the whole podcast.
That's the thing. Sometimes, so with the whole, like, going back to Rogan, right, where Spotify gave him, like, this, you know, multi-million, like, this, I forgot how much they gave him exactly, but it was, like, an insane,
like,
amount of money.
Like, 250 million or some crazy
number? Yeah, but that's the thing is that, like, now Spotify and YouTube only have it now. And sometimes, like, it depends on where you are in your podcasting career, but sometimes you may not want that. Your fans may not want that. You may just want, like, to have, like, multiple streams of, like, you know, multiple ways of streaming your podcast, and that's okay. But it's kind of like a base for base situation, you know? But, yeah, with the whole Rory and Maul situation, it was, I heard their first episode, what Rory and Maul's podcast, and they kind of explained that it was more of like a communication issue, and they just wanted to, like, know beyond terms of, like, the finances, I guess, in a way it was going.
Again.
You know.
Again.
But I get, like,
I hate saying the devil's avocado.
It may not be, like, none of their business.
It's not your business to know. I cut you a check. You come to work, I cut you a check. The day you want to stop coming to work is the day I don't cut you a check. What the business makes is not your fucking business to know. It's my network.
I can see that. Not a thing.
I work for people that are multimillionaires in my business and my job, what I do. I work for people that are multimillionaires. If I know that how much it costs them to pay me is 2% of their yearly pie, so what? The rest of what they do with another 98% is not my fucking business.
Yeah, as long as you're okay with what you're getting, and, you know, like,
things that work okay. And I think that's what the issue that people won't succumb to. That I see this nigga getting all these accolades. I see this nigga moving. I see this nigga getting his money. And I hate to sound like I'm siding with Joe, because that's the number one thing that always makes a relationship work. Communication. No matter what relationship it is. Friendship, you fucking, you family. It don't matter. Communication is what you need to make it function.
And your role is your role. You can't, like, surpass your role.
You can deviate, but you gotta talk with the people about it.
Right.
Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? If Rory and Maul wanted a bigger position or wanted more of the network, or wanted, I could imagine that the conversation. Do you guys have an idea of anything y'all want to start? Because this network is established. It's here. It's mine.
And I think they have the opportunity, too.
I know they have, though. But that's my point. That's why I don't even listen to their pod. Yo, I don't even listen to their pod. I know nothing of them two. And it was because of how I feel like they handled themselves in that situation. At least with Joe, he redeemed himself. Got 4 or 5 other new guests. These hosts actually praise him as an owner. Like, yo, he's putting money in our pocket. Yo, salute to this man. This nigga works mad hard. This nigga. And then you get something like Complex putting you as the number one pocket. Listen, it goes to show you bounce back. You know what I mean? Like, for me, Rory and Maul, I don't.
Was it number two Academics?
What? Probably. I think number two was Act. Yeah. Fucking guy.
That list, was it like a music podcast or just like podcast?
That's hip hop.
Hip hop. In our genre.
Well deserved for sure.
Yeah, in our genre. And that's what I say. The bounce back is real. Like, you can never hold no grudge. You got to keep progressing and salute to that. But at the same time, you can't go ahead and you can't be pissy over what business went wrong when you didn't play your role in the business.
Right. And also, I mean, at the same time, too, like, I really kind of feel like it wasn't really, like, a bounce back, per se. I feel like that's just business sometimes. Business, you know,
up, down.
You lose hopes. Yeah, up and down. You have good months, bad months, you know, good quarters, bad quarters. Let's say you have partners or employees. Mm. You may lose those depending, you know, on what happens. You know what I'm saying? So that's just how it works. In media? Okay, so I would say media in 2018... I was in Boston as a student athlete. I was playing baseball at a college called Lazy University in Cambridge. Mm. And at the time, I was playing a lot of baseball. Wasn't really sure what I wanted to do, like, academically wise. You know, like, typical, you know, like, student athlete.
No direction, shit, like, but you had your sports.
Yeah, like, and I always kind of knew that I wanted to, you know, be, like, in the communications field. At first, I wanted to be a journalist.
Okay.
That's how I kind of wanted to start. I kind of wanted to be a journalist and be, like, in the field, like, in, like, you know, kind of like... You guys remember how Vice used to be?
Yes. Yeah, used to be.
Keyword, used to be, right? Right before, like, they got all fucked up and, like, the content started going backwards. So what I'm referring to, for those who don't know, is that around, like, 2010 and 2014, like, Vice's golden years, in my opinion, I used to see a lot of really cool content, like, Fuck That's Delicious with Action Bronson,
mm-hmm.
a bunch of other really cool shows, all the comedians, where, like, they would go to places, report, no opinions, no nothing, just, like, showing people... what the situation is, whether it's on a political scale or a socioeconomic scale.
Even the guy with the psychedelics.
Yes.
The first couple seasons was really phenomenal with the toad.
Yeah,
with
what's his name again?
I'll find it.
Chrissy Mathewson was another one that was like a chef that did a lot of really cool work on Vice. But anyways, like, I used to see Vice and I'm like, damn, like I don't know exactly what I want to do in my life, like, professionally, but I know it wants
Hamilton,
to be
Pharma...
Pharmacopoeia. Yeah,
that's what it's called. Hamilton's Pharmacopeia.
Yeah, excellent show. So I figured, you know what, let me start as a journalist, you know, like, and I consider myself a pretty good writer, you know, I used to love social studies and writing and English as a kid, and, like, you know, writing was always, like, my strong suit. So I figured, you know what, why not go into journalism? So my freshman year, so even before I went to Boston, my freshman year, I went to community college in New Jersey.
What made you go to Boston, though, so far? Where are you from?
So I'm from Queens originally.
Me too. High five.
Nice.
From Flushing.
Best borough, baby.
Yeah,
so I guess let's just start from the beginning. So
look at this face.
I got recruited to play baseball at a community college in New Jersey. So I went over there and I figured, you know what, let me start in communications. So I started in communications. I started taking journalism classes. I liked it a lot. And it got to the point where I was like, okay, let me start, you know, maybe trying to become a journalist so I could work for Vice or New York Times or, you know, like some, you know, kind of be in the field reporting on, you know, cool stuff around the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let me start like that. What kind of turned me off from journalism was that year, which was 2015 going on to 2016, there was this reporter. I think it was Brian Williams, if I'm not... Mm. Yeah, it was Brian Williams. And I don't know if you guys recall or not, but, like, there was a huge controversial story with Brian Williams. And it was that he had made up a story... that he was, like, in the middle of, like, a specific battle in Iran or Afghanistan or something like that. And he lied about it completely. Mm. There was a soldier, a specific Marine or soldier that was in that exact battle or that exact operation that was actually there. You know, obviously, you know, like, saw...
Oh, that's fucked up. I know this guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So, and the guy came out and said, no, this is bullshit. He wasn't there. He's fucking lying. So... I guess the network he was working for at the time, NBC or...
Yeah, NBC or...
It was NBC or CNN or somebody, like, they had suspended him. Like, I don't know what his career is like now, but
That says, he has enlisted in the representation of CAA signal that the veteran TV journalist is devoting more thought into his career trajectory after leaving longtime NBC Universal at the end of 2021.
Yeah, in other words, his career hasn't been the same.
Fired.
And he can't fucking, like, he can't get a job for shit. Yeah, I don't even know what network that is. Like, that's crazy. And so, anyways, I saw that and I'm like, holy fucking shit. You're going to tell me that this guy, right?
Somebody you looked up to. Somebody that you...
Not even someone that I looked up to, but like someone that I respect in the industry and that is a he's a credited journalist.
You expected his word to have some merits integrity, behind it when right? the dude was speaking. Yeah, yeah, integrity,
like,
yeah.
He's not like Alex Jones in this shit or nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah. I fuck with Alex 50% of the time.
Alex Jones, yeah, Alex Jones is a different story, but like... But yeah, I'm like, dude, like, why are you lying about this? Like, you realize that there are like families that... Unfortunately, this is a reality for them, right? Like
on both sides.
On both sides, right? Like this is war. People are losing lives, and like you don't have to lie about that. You don't have to. You're not like I would expect like some 20-year-old journalist, like college student, or some nobody to make up some story about that. But you're an accredited journalist. You're making money, right? Why do you have to lie about this? So in my head, I'm like, hold up. If this guy is lying about what's going on in the world and what's going on through his reporting. Who else is lying? How many times are they lying? And like, what is the whole? What are we even talking about now when it comes to journalism? Like, what is journalism?
What is the truth?
What is the truth exactly? So like, that I kind of put the pause on that and said, you know what? I don't kind of like, and I started kind of doing more research on like CNN and how like a majority of news networks in the world are run by like the same five families. Well, oh, yeah. Something like that. It's like a single amount of families.
The
Rothschilds, that run, like,
the Carnegies, the Rockefellers.
Something like, yeah. So, and from there, I was like, you know what? Maybe like journalism and news.
They say that's what like that. Succession, the show Succession, is about.
Yeah, something like that, right? Yeah. So
one of the guys that owns all the news networks gonna die, and all his kids are hawking for that position.
Yeah, for sure.
Because he owns all. Yeah. Of them.
Well, Comcast, for example, owns MTV and Telemundo and like a whole bunch of channels, right? So mm-hmm. and you know that's just the business of it all, right? So I kind of took a step back and said, you know what? Let me still stay in communications because I still want to report and I still want to do something, you know, with media and cameras and something like that.
I'm curious though. I'm curious to know why did it deter you so much when you realize you know, back in the day we used to get our media from radio report, the newspaper. Remember the newspaper, right? Like everybody didn't have cable, and there was only a couple channels on regular TV. You had to hit it. Remember, I had the bunny ears. You had to hit the TV sometimes. How we used to get news was very sparse, and how and where we would get it is what we would know of it.
Yes.
Why are you so surprised that it, in the area of social media, that there wouldn't be, you wouldn't have to do homework on anything you hear.
Right. Yeah. Well,
you know what I'm saying? Like, no matter what you hear from, who you hear from,
that's very true.
I can't even guarantee he got the answer.
Yeah. Well, mind you, this is back in 20. Mind you, this is back in 2015, 2016, and I was around 18 years old at the time. I'm 26 now. So now, obviously, as you grow older and you your reality of the world changes. It doesn't change. It just molds to what reality kind of is. Like, you start to learn about business. You start to learn about how things actually work as a business, right? So at the time, you know, I was just like...
It was all so simple.
I was a young shit. Like, it was my first time, like living outside of New York, living by myself with housemates. You know, a lot of things were just like... Kind of like I was in a realization of a lot of things. It was more like growing pains and me like really growing up.
Your brain ain't fully developed too.
Exactly. But 18, you're a kid. You're not an adult. You're a kid, right?
And you're plus, still a
like,
kid.
And at the time, like, well, and then like I discovered radio, right? Oh, I didn't discover radio, but like I realized, oh well, radio might be cool because I grew up listening to Angie Martinez, you know, Hot 97, Power 105.
The personalities, the MCs,
exactly.
the people that used to carry the conversation.
Yeah, Howard Stern show. I used to watch.
Howard Stern was a killer.
He still is,
but
he's been going at it for 30 years straight.
There's no way you could throw Beetlejuice on a platform right now and do what Howard Stern did to him.
Even if it was a podcast, you wouldn't.
You can't throw Beetlejuice and do what Howard Stern did to him. Howard Stern did politely made fun of the dude. Yep, it so politely polite, made fun of him on camera for millions of people to watch, and he even laughed at it. For you sure, know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and I know maybe as an older man, he'd be like, I'm going to stab that dude. But, yo, the things Howard Stern would do to his guests was like Johnny Carson from the hood. Mm. You know what I mean? Johnny Carson used to bring them up, praise them, have a little jokes about their wife. Like, I used to love seeing Dangerfield on Carson. He would come, I get no respect. He would come in there and kill that shit. What Howard Stern would do to all his guests, that he would amplify their superstardom.
Absolutely.
It was such a magical thing for his time.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? Like, we'll never, Rogan kind of does that, but he does it in his,
It's a different way.
Yeah, absolute it's a different way. Because he actually doesn't make fun of him. Howard Stern would come in there making fun of you,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, Rogan's more like, unless he, like, it's like a friend of his, or like a comedian friend of his that he's known for a while, like, it's more of like an educational, not like educational type of podcast.
Uh-huh.
Like, just busting balls. But he does have podcasts like that where, like, he'll have a group of comedians over and they'll just all start cutting their ass, but that's just the industry that they're in. So, like, you know.
So you're 18.
Yeah.
Figure you wanted to be a journalist.
Yes.
But you swayed your mind due to the fact of what you, how you were just turned off by that situation. So you swayed your mind into what direction?
So I started getting more into radio because I would always listen to the radio on my way to, class, come back. I would listen to, you know, back like iTunes had, you know, like obviously they had like the radio segments on there.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured, you know what? Radio sounds great and amazing. Like, and that sounds more like, it's not that it's more realistic, but it's more raw because you just
wanted to be a disc jockey or an engineer.
I wasn't sure. I just wanted to be like,
you just wanted
I
to be part of how the magic
the world.
Is.
I just want to be in the business.
Go.
You know what I'm saying? You know,
showing off.
Yeah, I just wanted to be in there, you know? So, and you know, obviously, you know, like, it's also like the Tim Westwoods, Ebro Dardens, the Rose.
Remember Tim Westwood with DMX?
Tim Westwood Inc.
What?
Tim Westwood.
YouTube.com.
Tim Westwood TV.
There's something about English people and those voices that just turn. It's just a turn on when you hear like an English nigga read a story.
For real, like him and Tim Westwood's a genius. You know, shout out to
him. Who took over Tim Westwood? It was like the fat.
There's this fat guy.
No, so Tim Westwood. I think it's a part of BBC also, and like it's the other guy. I forgot his
Sloth
name.
Or something.
Sloth, Charlie Sloth.
Charlie Sloth.
He's cool too. I like him a lot.
Charlie Sloth.
But yeah. So anyway, so. You know, and then, like, I would take some radio classes at my school, and I remember one time for a project that, like, my school at the time had the campus had a radio station. So I would go in and watch, like, the radio host do his thing, and, you know, and that was my first time really seeing, like, high production microphones and camera. Well, not cameras, because it was radio, but, you know, mixers and...
You saw
everything, and I was like, yo, this shit is for me, for sure. Like, this is amazing. And, like, I would see how he would, like, go into segments, he'll be right back. Start talking to me like, just like the guy was an absolute pro. Like, imagine this is like small time radio, which doesn't, you know, small time radio, but like he's still professional at it.
No,
he's
it's still something about thing. Knowing how to do when it comes.
The
what
guy
you
was just an
to do.
Absolute pro. Yeah.
Yes.
So that was amazing. So, you know, I graduate community college. I go to Massachusetts to play to go to school and play baseball, and they didn't have communications as a major. They had it as a minor.
You would, you were depriving yourself.
I was just on some dickhead. Like, let me go play baseball and have fun. But
not
like,
dickhead though.
It wasn't a dickhead.
You athletic.
Like,
you good. You can move. You could play the sport.
Yeah, exactly.
And that, you know what sports teach you, in my opinion, how to lose.
Absolutely.
When you winning is the greatest feeling in the world.
Especially baseball. Baseball, you're gonna lose. Like,
you're gonna lose. Time, there's a reason why there's like 182 games in the season with baseball.
182 games in a season plus like if your batting average is like at 300, which is 30% of like, if you reach base 30% of the time, or get a base hit 30% of the time, you're making millions of dollars. That's
absolutely.
Just, that just shows you how.
That's
much
why Jeter used to kill it.
It's a part of exactly.
Jeter had like a 348 batting average.
Yeah, not, exactly. That's why he made so much money.
That's like, fucking crazy.
Yeah. So, I'm in Massachusetts, and like, so I'm at the time I was majoring in English and minoring in communications. You know, still taking a lot of writing classes because I figured. I'll work for like a magazine or still work in communications as a writer or something like that, you know, do something within that sense. But then I kind of got into a little depression phase because I had injured my ankle. I had a high ankle sprain. I was pretty much done for the season. I had injured myself right before, like at practice right before the season had started. Well, I wasn't really liking like the school dynamics, you know, like the athletic department was like kind of shitty.
Well, you in Boston.
Yeah.
Right? What's your nationality?
I'm Colombian.
In Boston, you didn't have any of those stigmas.
It was literally just like the school itself and administration itself. It wasn't in my opinion, they weren't doing all that they could have for student athletes. And it, you know, it's a Division III school, and that's unfortunately that's what happens with Division III schools.
Yeah, they get left in the back.
There's less funding. You don't. There's a lot of potential, but there's not. If the execution isn't there from the top bottom, you know,
it'll never get done.
It doesn't happen, right? Yeah. So like, I kind of got into a depression phase. Wasn't really like, couldn't move as much. Had to, you know, like hobble and fucking like, you know, hobble. like stammer everywhere, you know, because I had a boot on.
And you've been playing sports all your life.
All my life, pretty much, yeah.
And that was your first major injury to take?
Yeah, my first major injury. Yeah.
That was so depressing to you, wasn't it?
That was depressing, yeah.
You didn't fall into, you didn't get fucked up with the pain pills, smoking weed, depression?
Smoking weed, yeah. I smoked a lot of weed, for sure, yeah. I've been smoking weed, like, since I was 18, pretty much, and yeah, that's
oh, yeah, but when you sit on your ass, it's a different type of smoking.
Way different, yeah. Way
you go through a whole ounce because you don't even notice, and there's nothing else to do.
For real, yeah. And plus, you know, Boston's cold as fuck too, so like, yeah, that would just kind of add to what I was feeling. So one of the ways that I would feel better was like listening to podcasts. Like, I remember the first podcast I really, really, really got into before Joe Rogan was Michael Rappaport's Serial Podcast.
Okay,
yeah, yep. I was just so amazed.
Michael Rappaport is a genius.
He's
though.
Amazing. He
fires off just so.
Yeah, like, I don't agree with everything he says, but I respect the fact that he's like an old school OG, like, you know, Jewish New York guy, doesn't give a fuck. That'll just say exactly what's on his
you
head.
Fucking prick, and then like look right at the camera.
And with him, like, I don't know what the podcast is like now, but like back in 2018, 2019, he would do it all by himself. He would talk all by himself. For like
he still
an
does.
Hour,
he still does.
Hour and a half
he still
straight.
Does.
And like, it was captivating. Like, I would listen to my headphones. I would eat, go to class, like, just do my, you know, even go to the gym still, like, do my thing. And like, I'm like, damn, like, how is this guy still talking? And not just talking, like, just for the sake of just like hearing himself speak, but talking like.
Bill Burr's the same.
Yeah. Like, and just like, you know, like, making arguments and being hilarious and being funny and just doing his thing overall. Like, that impressed the shit on me. And I'm like, all right, like, podcasting seems really cool. Like, let me. And that's kind of like at the time where podcasting was getting over to home, and people were starting to realize, like, oh, wait, podcasting isn't a complete waste of time. It's cool.
Yeah.
So I was listening to Joe Rogan, started listening to Deez and Mero. That was before when they were on.
Before
were on
Showtime,
Vice?
Right?
That was. It was.
They're on Complex.
They're on Complex.
Complex.
I think they're on Vice. Were they on Vice first? I'm pretty sure they're on Vice first, right?
I just remember on Complex, and then they had their own thing. After
they were on Showtime, yeah.
And they went to Showtime.
Yeah, nah,
they broke up not too long ago. Too.
Yeah, no, and you know, like it happens.
It happens.
It happens. And
growth,
I think
growth.
Because they're both growing at insane fucking rates. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, but that like the show back then was incredible. The skits that they used to do, everything from the intro music, the skits.
Was ahead of its time in the audio.
To me, I was like, this right here is art.
Yep.
It's absolute fucking art.
Yep.
Like, they were just perfect for podcasting. Yep. It was molded for them, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, and even if they were born 10 years ahead, 20 years before, they would have been perfect for radio or perfect like satellite radio, you know? So I feel like no matter what, they would have been amazing at, you know, whatever they decided to get good at. So I started listening and like not learning cuz I didn't really know that I wanted to do it, but you know, like when you're
it was making the blueprint for you in your head.
Yeah, like when
it
you're
designing
when you're
that blueprint
by something. The more you invest your time and energy into it, the more that you kind of like.
Not only that, it calls you.
Kind of like, you know, like the gears start working. Like, holy shit! Like,
it starts to call you though. It like it's hard. It like for me, I have to learn how to not answer the call so much because I get calling. I get like and then you start deep diving into the rabbit hole. You know, oh, damn, maybe I want to do a podcast. What kind of cameras they use? Oh, damn. What kind of mic is that?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
How do I even upload? Oh, OBS broadcasting system. Well,
yeah.
What? There's several broadcasting Restream, Stream Deck. There's this. What's this?
You know,
sound?
Shit, yeah.
Sound. Wait. How do I put it up? Anchor, Buzzsprout. Wait. My audio ain't good. I gotta get Logic. I gotta strip the audio and edit the audio and put an EQ on it. And
I gotta learn Pro Tools now.
Like this rabbit hole. This rabbit hole that you find, like, and it's a calling.
Sure.
I just picked up shirt pressing, and it's just a fucking calling to the point where it's like almost every night. I'm like, as I sleep, oh shit, that's how you do it. And I wake up and I go to my studio and I'm like,
yo, for real, swear to God, that happens to me all the time. Yo,
like
the shirt, yeah, shirts are dope, by the way.
Well, that no, well,
wait.
Just so I can, no, you can open it,
okay,
you can
yeah,
open
yeah,
it, you can open it.
No,
just so I give a, no, just so I give a. So what happened was, whenever I make a design, I have three different ways of making the design. I have it straight vinyl. I have it sublimation on paper, and then I have direct to vinyl. So I tried. The reason the shirt looks like that is because I tried all three ways, and unfortunately, the best way to work was the last way, and that's why the last way is so clear, but the two fuck-ups are in the background. So, what's up, everybody? Podcast t-shirts coming soon, baby.
I think it looks great, and plus, like, I kind of, this is kind of like, you know whenever, like, cars, like, they come out with, like the concept cars?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, you'd rather the concept car as opposed to like the actual car.
Oh yeah, so yeah, yeah.
Like, it's kind of it right here. It's kind of like a draft, but it's so cool though. I like it. I
salute
like
to you.
Like
salute
it's
to
a
you.
3D-ish. Like it's.
Cool. That's why I can't wait to like my next ones will be definitely
the final draft. I know it's gonna be like really nice.
I'll fuck that shirt up great. 4 more times. I'll print on that shirt like 6 more times just to make sure all my prints are good. Like
that's the name of the game, baby. You know,
like you know how many podcasts
you gotta fuck up as many times as you need to.
I bought so much equipment that is trash. That you think it's good, gonna do your job, what you need, and then when you get it, you click the button and it makes that clicky noise. You're like, why is this so loud? So as you're talking and you want to make like a sound and go, fuck, that's not gonna work.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and it's because of this, of divulging into something once you enjoy it.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. So anyways, so then like, you know, I made the decision to, you know, like, you know, I had the option to come back and play baseball for one more year, and that would have been the 2020 season.
Were you still injured?
I was still injured at the time, but like, it was healing. But like I was like, but I had the option of like coming back and like playing for 2020 season, and I was like, you know what?
Were you gonna take baseball? Steroids?
Nah. See,
because they imagine, if you're imagine, hurt,
imagine playing D3 and taking steroids. That's crazy.
Yeah, you'll definitely get caught. I'll tell you that much.
For real, yeah.
Unless you're that good.
Yeah,
unless right. You're like John Jones good.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, right. Like, yeah. You know, and like I mean, the plan for me was never to like make it pro or like anything. It was just to play.
You loved baseball.
Love baseball. Yeah, exactly. So that was my thing. I wanted to
probably bought you mad like, bitches too, though.
Yeah,
being an athlete.
Like, yeah,
being an athlete, but
nah. I definitely had a great time in college. Like it was
great time. Not a good time.
Look at
a great
not
time.
A good time. A great time, right?
The greatest yeah, of yeah, times. Time, yes.
The greatest.
I don't even remember those. Some of those
I don't
great
remember
times.
Half their names.
Keisha, Lisa, you won.
I just know I swung the bat and they played with balls.
Hitting that ass like a home run and a knife in it.
Every night. Damn. All right, go ahead. My bad. We're bad.
Well, quick disclaimer, I had a single dorm too, which was like unheard of at the time. So
that's what I was going to ask you too. You moved to Boston, you dormed?
I dormed, yeah.
Oh, how'd that go? How'd your parents think about that? Was
they,
it like
they
a
were,
big
they,
deal?
They were super supportive. Like, I mean, like I'm very blessed because, you know, I'm Colombian. Obviously, me and my sister are first generation Americans.
Your parents are from Colombia?
From Colombia, yeah. So they.
The opportunity of you going to college and dorming must have been a dream for your fucking parents
were,
then.
Like, the thing with them is that, like, they're both on a space of like, you can do absolutely whatever you want to do as long as you go to school. Mm. As long as you at least got a degree and, you know, and it's something that you want to pursue in life. Yeah. Mm. And I thought that was always fair. Mm. And it made sense. And I was like, okay.
That's not only fair, that's support.
Yeah.
Beyond support, bro. Like.
Yeah, you know, like, obviously, you know, like, I'm grateful for them. You know, they put me through school and, like, you know, obviously, like, when I told them I wanted to play baseball and, you know, move out of state, do all that, they were absolutely supportive in a million ways. You know, I don't think I'd really be here if it wasn't for them, you know, being so supportive.
Oh, this is the
younger
sister.
Younger sister.
Oh, so you had to be the role model as well.
Oh, she like, I mean, like,
because that's a big deal too. You know, when you're trying to grow up and find your whims, you got your
yeah.
You got your parents who are, you know, your first generation, so they were immigrants, I assume.
Yes.
All right, so you have your parents that are adjusting to American social norms, whether it comes easy to them or not. Now yeah. You have two American kids that. Fortunately, but unfortunately, are going to be more well-versed in the American culture than they are because you guys grew up here.
Yeah.
So now,
especially New York, too, where, like, there's a million things going on at the same time.
This melting pot.
Yeah, but grow up here, we can live anywhere.
Mm. Yeah,
we grow
sure.
up here, we can live anywhere.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So it's like, for your parents to be supportive and you not have to be so overhead responsible for your sister...
Yeah.
That's a big salute to them, you know?
For sure. The reason I say I wasn't like a huge like role model per se is because my sister's always been very mature for her age.
Okay.
So like when she was 15, she would act like she was 18. When she was 18, she would act like she was 21. And like now she's 23, but and so like now like the gap is like kind of like kind of like regulated itself, but she's always been very mature for her age, and she's always very independent. You know, like she graduated from UMass, in business.
Oh, both of y'all went to Boston College.
Well, I mean, I was in school in Boston. She went to school in Massachusetts, but like more like Western Massachusetts. Like,
okay,
like in the sticks, like you know, okay. The boondocks, pretty much. Like,
the country part.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. They pretty much like middle of nowhere, but you know, so she's always been like very on top of herself. Even like now, like she's absolutely incredible at what she does. But
That's big salute to your parents, though. You know, I give this man a lot of praise. You know, I know his parents, you know, and besides knowing them personally, I know him more.
Yeah.
So I know things that he does is only a reflection of them.
Absolutely. 100%.
And if they were terrible, you men would be terrible people.
You know
what I'm saying?
Yeah, because I've met terrible people and it's like, damn, like, I'm sure their families are the same.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, it's not like that all the time. Because I have met people where like, oh, like you're like your parents are cool, but you're just a piece of shit. Like, there's nothing you can do about that. Like, it is what it is. Unfortunately, it's not perfect all the time. But like, you know, I give them a lot of credit for, you know, like, you know, just even today they still, you know, whenever I tell them about like
your endeavors, like, they're supportive.
Endeavors, projects. I told them this morning, hey, like, I'm only gonna do a podcast today and see what we're gonna do production. They're like, oh, that's awesome. Good luck with that. Like, and it's cool for like, you know, immigrant parents to be supportive of like their kids, especially like today's digital world.
And not forcing you to fucking be a lawyer or a doctor.
That was never a conversation, which is amazing.
That's always the immigrant lifestyle. Like with Asian, why you think Asian people come over here? Like for the most part, my Chinese family, only my stepfather's the black sheep. All the other brothers got fucking government jobs.
Yeah,
a sheriff works in Trump's building, works for the airport. They all got great government jobs. Because that's what is instilled in you as an immigrant. When you come here, you want your kids to have stability.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, working for a place till you're 67, 68 will be stability.
Right. And it's a level of sacrifice. And that's what worked back then in their times. Because, you know, back then you could have, like, a pension job and have, like, a house and buy...
That's not dependable now.
Nowadays, and I think there's, like, good and bad things said. Like, so nowadays people are forced to get more creative with what they're doing, which is great. Because now it forces more people, such as ourselves, to, you know, like, think outside the box and give the world more value, you know, through art, which is beautiful and amazing, and which is why I think that, you know, that's great. So anyways, where was
so I? You left college. You had a decision to make, whether to play baseball one more year or you're going to leave.
Yeah. So what I did is that I left and I re-enrolled in another college, St. Francis College in Brooklyn.
Let's go.
Yeah, shout out to them. And the reason I chose them was because, one, they gave me like a lot of scholarships because I went to community college. I already had college credits. I went to a Catholic school.
Like you on their roster.
Yeah, exactly. So like, and plus I wanted to be in communications and they have one of the best communications programs in the country. You know, like they're very well versed for nursing. And for communications.
Okay.
So that's why I said, you know what? Let me go there and get focused into communications and doing, you know, going within that route. Mm-hmm. So I started there and I started trying everything. You know, I tried college radio for the first time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those college radio days were a lot of fun. It was great. I had a co-host. We would invite like music artists and a whole bunch of random people.
So you were doing radio for colleges?
I was doing college radio for our college radio station.
Wow, that's fucking awesome.
That was amazing. Yeah, it was the best, dude.
It was every week type of thing.
And mind you, like this, it was like, I think I have photos somewhere. I can show you guys later, but like, it was like a small little like cloud. It was like, it
don't matter how big the size is.
Like, I'll give like a rundown of what it was.
Come on,
was
yo, like, yo, we know this.
It was like a room, like a small desk with like three microphones. And then there was like the office for like the chairperson of the communications department. So like it was, so you know, that's like real college radio type of stuff.
That was your first, was that your
like in your closet type shit?
Yeah, nigga, like you got to see how big my studio is. I started a podcast in my little hole. People would come in. I'm like, yo, just sit there. You'll be all right.
Stay right there.
And my guests, everyone in my guests is just like, they got this much elbow space and shit, but if they move forward in their chair, we rub a knee. Don't move. Don't rub a knees.
Well, listen, like that's what it is. But yeah, like it was amazing. And then from there, I realized, okay, like let's turn this into an actual podcast because you know you could record live, but then like they would keep the audio files. So I'm like, you know what? We're already here, and plus like at the time, like they switched campuses actually, but like at the time that campus had an incredible TV studio. So I'm like, you know what? I bought a couple cameras. I bought like some podcasting equipment.
Your investment.
Yeah, my investment. So
did you run it by them before you bought it?
I mean, like, I wanted my own stuff no matter what. And the school was great because they, since it's a communication school, they're very big into, like, okay, guys, we have the TV room and we have this room.
Use it.
Exactly. Absolutely. Use it. Like,
that's cool. Fucking awesome.
I was cool with the guys that did, like, the, like, it was called Terrier News because the Terriers is, like, the mascot for St. Francis College.
Mm-hmm.
They would do a whole bunch of segments, a bunch of really cool stuff. I was taking broadcasting classes and radio classes and things that were very, like, focused into, like, broadcasting and film. So what we would do is that I would bring all my equipment. We would do it in the TV studio. I would bring over guests and...
How did you get the guests?
People from there would... DMs. DMing
you
people.
DMing people.
Yeah. It was me. At the time, it was me and another co-host. That was a classmate of mine at the time. And, you know, like... What I would do is I would go to class, I'd be a student, I would work out, I would go work. I was a valet at the time, so like all my money, I was pretty much putting all my money into equipment. Like I got a cool mixer from the Rodecaster, the original one. I got a bunch of really cool
And at this time you're living back home?
Yeah, I'm living back home, yeah.
You came back home?
So I came back home, yeah.
Did your parents take a little bit of ease off you as far as like... They didn't charge you an arm and a leg for bills and rent. They allowed you to live.
Yeah, they were happy that like I came back to focus on like specifically focus on. Like,
you didn't come back career. To go to the streets.
No,
or,
no,
like,
no,
do
no,
something
no,
crazy.
No,
you
no,
came
no,
back
no,
to
like,
be focused on more work.
No, exactly. No, they were like, you know what? Like, I think like that's a very mature, smart decision of you. You know, like it's cool. Come back. You know, go to school. Do what you gotta do. You know, work. You know, whatever. And no, it was cool. They've always been, you know, super incredible. But yeah, so I pretty much like got all this really cool equipment. A lot of it I still use to this day, you know.
Of
like,
course.
Still really good equipment, right? So, you know, so I would like, and I got this huge Pelican case, which is like, for those who don't know, like Pelican is it's a brand that they have these huge like production cases. And
mm-hmm.
like, they have a whole bunch of latches to them. And they're pretty much waterproof, not bulletproof, but like you can move them everywhere. They're meant to hold like, you know, super expensive lenses and you know,
oh yeah, I see it.
Production, yeah.
That shit mm-hmm. It looks like a I'll show the picture. It looks
like a Call of Duty warehouse box.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
It looks like a
pretty much
it looks
exactly,
like a gun
yeah.
case.
Exactly. It does look like a gun case for sure. Yeah.
It looks like a gun case.
Because at the time I didn't have a car, so I was taking the train to school, so I'd have to take that big ass Pelican case with tripods and everything on the train, and obviously, you know, like I would bang the case around, you know, like on stage.
Nah, yeah, you can't. When you're traveling with equipment, that's the number one thing that I do hate, though.
Yeah.
I do hate traveling with equipment. Like, if there's one thing that I could always want, you know, I run another podcast. I moved my podcast studio to his house in order for me not to travel with it. The only thing I ever travel
amazing.
With is two
sense.
Cameras.
That makes sense.
You know what I mean? That's the only thing I ever travel with to his house. Two cameras and like a box with wires. But other than that, I ain't got to bring a tripod. I ain't got to bring the mixer, all the mics, all the
Yeah, no, but yeah, like even before I had the Pelican case, I just had like a regular like kind of like duffel bag. And it was like, for me, it was a little stressful because I would have to like, you know, like
I know.
Go down to one on the train and like
make sure
get bring anything.
No. You
know, like,
You DJs that carry around Serratos, respect us podcasters that carry around fucking mixes and mics and fucking shit like that, all right?
It's the same logistics.
It's the same logistics. Give us our respect.
That's why I want the space for us, so we don't have to deal with that.
Nah, absolutely.
But like when you first start, like first of all, like when you're first starting, like that's just kind of how it is. You feel me? Like you're not gonna have a studio and whatever. Like,
well, beg to fucking differ, and I'm not envious of these people, but. There's something majestic in the fact that I could catch a Joe Rogan and a Jamie fuck up with their equipment. That's a million-dollar studio over there. Easy. They're fucking up? There's a fuck up anywhere?
Well, there's like... That's
several
like,
times?
That's like minor fuck ups.
Nah, it don't matter. I still hear it. I shouldn't hear it. So when I hear our stuff, when I see our stuff, I truly look to not have any fuck ups because... I think at the lower level, the best that you can do is not show those type of... The best I could do is emulate what they look like. If I could stand toe-to-toe with the greatest people, the only thing I ever lack is equipment. And I've seen people put $5,000, $10,000 into a studio, set everything up, not know what to do with it after.
I've seen people put
$5,000, $10,000 into a studio, pay the right people to sit there behind the shit, and then when they get in front of the camera, they ain't shit. They get in front of the camera and the content is just trash. And it's because they expected at the first episode they were going to just be this God almighty greatest podcaster in the world. Not knowing,
get
you probably won't hit there till 5, 6, 7. You won't hit there till you get this guest that was cursing you out. Because you said something wrong.
Yeah, I mean,
you know what I'm saying? Like, you won't get there, and you don't always need controversy, but you need content. And if your shit is trash, I don't give a fuck what they say. There is not a place for trash to survive. Not even in the ocean. Shouldn't be there. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta, if it's not for you, you can't just, because I see it, though. I hear it, though. I see it, and I get, it's not my place to tell people that shit is whack. But it shames me, because when that camera's not in front of these people, they're great. They talk great. They're awesome. Carry themselves off. But when the camera flips on, they think they got to put this persona on this the podcast voice. What the fuck is that?
Anybody got a podcast voice?
But that's the point of podcasting.
Such thing as a podcast.
That's the point of podcasting.
Anybody
the speaking right now is the same way I'd be speaking to you guys.
That's the point of podcasting. You don't get it though.
Good morning, world. Like, yeah, switch their voice.
People, but that's why I think people fuck this up. That's where you can recognize, you know, no matter how big my space is, no matter where I'm doing it, small room, your equipment, as long as your shit has great content, you have the opportunity for growth.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, that's why progression for me is you know, it's a beautiful thing, because, you know, there's value in starting from nothing, you know, and growing and growing to something. You know, if you're given so much without any type of work, or you don't appreciate it. No. Or you don't even understand what you have, and that's where you lose it automatically, as opposed to where, like, you know, if you start a podcast with one camera, one microphone, and like you're in your closet, the closet goes into your living room, your living room goes into like a small space you rent out, or like the studio space you rent out, you know, and like it keeps on progressing there and there and there, you look back at all the work you did and you're like, damn, like this feels incredible. Not just from like a financial standpoint or a money standpoint, like a media standpoint, right? But from just like
yourself,
just understanding that you put the work in to, you know, make something happen for yourself.
And even that's, your outfit that's and your conversation, you know, your outfit, your conversation, how your mind is. I think all that becomes subject to change when you realize that you're voicing your opinion to a broader audience. It's not like you're talking in a group kumbaya with your friends. You're speaking to a camera that most of the time, if you're doing this alone or just with your... It's just you and the camera. And if it's just you and your homie, you're supposed to act like the camera's not there, but no, the camera is there.
Right.
That formula people find themselves lost in. I think when you can figure that formula out, where the camera's on, be yourself. There's nothing you can do about it. But at the same time, the camera's on, and be very mindful about what you're doing and how you're carrying yourself.
Yeah, like what you
how
say,
you dress,
and like
having
that.
A haircut, yeah, what sure. you say, even the guests you have on. There's some guests I've had in the beginning, and the podcast got good an hour into it, but when I look at it, I'm like, damn, it takes a whole hour for this person to warm up.
Yeah, like, communicate themselves right. Or like market themselves properly. Like,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no,
camera shy. Like,
yeah,
what?
For sure.
But then it's on me, though, because it's on me to recognize. You know what I'm saying? That not all people, where they're great in one area, might not be great in another area. And it might not be their time right now. You know, in order to speak properly, you have to learn how to conversate. You have to learn how to talk. You can't just expect one day to wake up and then, I want to talk like that guy. Nah, you have to, it has to be a muscle.
Yeah, you got to practice.
Yeah, you got to practice. Even firing off. Yeah. Even firing off, because you're gonna run into walls with people and conversations with people where it just might be hoover you, or your opinion is different. And you know that if you voice it the wrong way, this person is going to blow a gasket. Like, could you imagine having like the Liver King on your podcast as a guest? Wait, I'm going there right now. And then you're like... But you took steroids and lied. And then he goes, yeah, so what you going to do about it? Right there on your camera, on your part, what you going to do about it? And you're like,
nah, he probably denied it still.
But what if he wasn't? Yeah, what if that day he was angry and didn't want to hear about it? Oh, he and he's sitting there swole.
Just had road rage.
Looking at you. What are you going to do? That's the etiquette you have to learn. You feel me? Like, that's how you have to learn how to diffuse things, talk to people.
And plus, like, diffusing things on camera is... I've never had to diffuse a situation on camera yet, thank God, right? But, like...
You never run into a confrontation, issues?
Nothing too crazy, because I'm like, that's not what I like. I don't know.
It's not always what you like, but sometimes guests... I tell him... I only... I pry, but when I see you getting cringy or uncomfortable... I look at body language. So I, look at this, I let go. But if you don't give me that, I'm going to just keep going. And sometimes I have the, I push the envelope. Like, I just saw the Cradle performance. Me and I was a host that night. Shout out to Cradle. I was a host that night, and I was asking him really difficult questions.
Oh yeah.
And sometimes it was getting a little cringy. So he's in the studio with me yesterday. He's like,
cringy as in like his response, or cringy as in the questions?
What his response would be?
okay. All right. There we go.
I was doing my job, right, but he's like, nigga, why would you ask me that at my? I'm like. Look at the song you put out. What do you mean? He's
like, oh, so it was like based on the songs that he, like.
Yeah, it was an album release party. So he's on the stage putting the music out, and at the same time, the crowd is divulging the music. So I'm asking him questions about the songs that come up. It's only natural. But he's an R&B singer. Yeah,
that's true.
And he's saying certain things where, let's just say, he had a bitch in the crowd, and he don't want to say something that might damage that foundation. So it had, you know, it.
Right. Yeah. But we can't have it both ways. You can't like you can't sing about or communicate something and then backpedal on it. Like, you know, like what did you mean by that?
Yeah. Know? But at the same time and place, you know what I mean? If the dude didn't want
to. He asked you to host.
My nigga, if I'm talking about cheating on a girl in a song and the girl is in the crowd,
okay, so
I am not gonna say that I was talking about that girl.
Oh no, yeah, that was somebody else. That's somebody else, you know.
And
so what's this Sheena song about?
That's what he was caught in the light though. That's where you get caught though. It's things like that where you get caught. You're like,
wait, so that was a question? Like he had a song about
whatever it may be. Yeah, I was just.
And his girlfriend was in the crowd? Or like
I don't know who was in the crowd, but I know I was looking at the documentary over. He was eyeballing somebody. Shout out to you, Cradle.
Good luck to you, my brother.
We got a documentary coming out. It got good things coming for it. So it's like...
good shit, guys. That's
I just love it. You know, like when it comes to media and stuff, I've learned playing your position and gaining knowledge. And I think that we are like... we are the forefront for technology. Look at like... what's this guy? Lou Lader? The technology guy, the unbox therapy.
Oh, yeah.
You see him? He's not a...
I haven't heard of him, actually.
This is a guy called Unbox Therapy. He unboxes everything that's brand new. Everything that's brand new in the technology world, he unboxes it. His setting is a big room. He has a little Chinese guy in the corner. And all he does is talk about unboxing it. If he put that in audio form...
Yeah.
It would still sell as a podcast. People would be more intrigued to be like, what the fuck is he talking about? And want to go look at the YouTube video. Yeah,
he could do that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we live in this era where it's a good space to be a producer of media.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about that flimsy bullshit where it's like, I give credit to people that have the ability to make something last forever and they edit it in their phones. I give you credit. But I'm talking about the people that actually man the cameras, that saw the image before it happened. That went out and got that 4D camera that was brand new because it knew it was going to make something else. I'm talking about that right there. Like, we go look for the technology because we want to make it look the best and hear sound the best when it's brought to you. You know what I mean? I feel like we're at the forefront of wanting everything to be crispy. Like, you see these new TVs, 8K? See the 8K?
I've heard of 8K.
What the fuck is the 5K. Point? Most things that push out 8K don't read 8K on these TVs. Ain't up to it.
At some point,
that's actually true. I mean, well, that's
too expensive.
That's the thing with 8K is that like it's like they're releasing it now, but it's like a not yet situation.
It's like 4 or 5 years. Like,
because even Instagram, like on your iPhone, like it's not gonna be able to read 8K because like it's not there yet. Like,
Instagram is trash though. With even
I have specific export settings for Final Cut Pro.
Me too.
Because I can't export it as 4K. I gotta export it as 1080 on 1920. Oh no, yeah, 1080 1920.
You know what I do to mitigate that? You know,
yeah,
QuickTime.
Oh really?
I exported on QuickTime. Exported on QuickTime as 1080p 60. Same thing.
Yeah.
It condenses it to a smaller file size that allows you to put it on Instagram with full quality.
Yeah. So I feel like whenever I do that, like I always like, and plus like if I'm ever doing like a shoot for a client or I'm sending like a final version to a client, I always email. I show them via text how it looks like. If they like it, great. And then I'm like, okay, let me email it to you. That way, it doesn't like. While it's being sent to like from my phone to your phone to Instagram,
yeah, the distortion. Yeah, no, yeah. It's crazy. Like, you would think that this problem would be figured out by now. You know, I shouldn't have to do loopy loop hoops to compress a file to get the most quality. I shouldn't have to think whether I got to go through Google Drive, PC Cloud, or WeShare. It shouldn't even be thought. know what I mean? This shit where fucking Androids and Apple phones can't send pictures because the quality of videos, because this shit is ridiculous at this point.
Yeah, it's just like, I'd rather them fix that than fix like the bots or like the, you know, like the...
I leave the bots. Bots are here to stay. You ain't going to get rid of them.
That's true.
Yeah, bots are here
you
to know, stay.
Keep the bots if you want, just like...
Make our technology better.
Yeah, you know, like, you know...
Like, make everything wireless. Like, if I died right now and I had a wish for technology, make everything wireless. I hate these wires. make everything just connect wireless. Without transmitters.
But yeah, but what was that before, my bad?
You had no.
Oh, yeah, college radio, then yeah. Podcasting. Yeah. Yeah. So then like this is all 2019. Everything's going great. I started getting like a bunch of
fairly recently, 4 years ago.
Very fairly recently, right? Yeah. So. One of the guests that I had, goes by the name of Nate Joel. You know Nate.
Nate's really dope.
Cypher. Like, I DM'd him on Instagram. I said, hey, you want to come on, like, you know, come on the podcast. I said, yeah, sure. That was like episode 2, I'm pretty sure. Like, yeah, it was like episode 2 that we did.
Very early.
Very, very early. And, we started talking about, his videographer that happened to be, well, that's still Steve Mons at the time.
Yeah.
So yeah, then I reached out to Steve. We did a podcast episode. Me and him, Rosie, his girlfriend Rosie was there too. Like you know, behind the scenes. But we did an episode at Penthouse Studios because at the time he had a very good relationship. Oh, I think he still has a good relationship with like the owners of Penthouse Studios. But that for me was awesome because that was my first time in like a legit music like recording studio, and like we did it in there and it was amazing. And you know, like, obviously, Steve, like, I'm so cool with his day. You know, like, I was there for a Cypher the other day, you know, recording some BTS footage. And, you know, that was amazing. It was great for me to meet someone like that. Even before I thought about getting into videography, it was nice for me to get in front of a top-tier videographer and a top-tier photographer. You know,
it inspires you.
Absolutely, yeah. So
it fucking inspires you. You think, you know, it's possible.
Exactly, yeah. So, and then from there, I actually ended up getting an internship at Penthouse Studios. I was an intern for... one of the owners, Acosta Park, shout out to him. But then I was doing a podcast and things were flowing and going, but then the pandemic hits. Mm-hmm. And then like I don't go back to class because obviously everything's shut down. The internship is kind of like on a hold because obviously like no one's going anywhere.
Everything's shut down.
Yeah. So from there I had to start doing Zoom interviews. And that was cool, but also kind of a pain in the ass at the time. Because again, I was so a little I was just getting into the fuel and into the mode, into like getting used to like the whole flow with, you know, in person interviews. And I love in person interviews because you get to read, like you just said, body language, conversation. Yeah. It's an art that I feel in
it's not a delay
commodity. Exactly, it's a commodity that I feel like human beings should never really get rid of. So Zoom was cool, but at the same time, it was like I would DM people to be on a podcast, but I would never meet them in real life. Right?
Yeah, that's just awkward.
Yeah, exactly. So it ended up being cool, but then like my co-host was also like he would have
to do what it had to do. It was good for what it had to do when it had
exactly.
to do.
Exactly. And plus like me, I had my microphone set up. I was able to hook it up to my laptop and it was great, but like my co-host was just doing it from his iPhone. The other person was doing it from their iPhone. Sometimes
quality sucked ass.
Zoom's quality sucks, which is crazy. Like whatever.
You know, it's great to speak to somebody in the same language, right? Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Quality sucked ass.
But
and then if somebody has bad service,
it's
fucking up even more. And then the Zoom phone calls, it's not flowing conversation. See how I'm talking? Mm-hmm. You answer.
Yep.
I'm talking, you answer. With a Zoom conversation, it's all right, and then I'm gonna go here. Oh, so you're gonna go there next? It's always that delay that fucks up.
Yeah,
that,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, so you're still. I mean, you can still do Zoom interviews. It's just like even now, if I were ever to do a Zoom interview,
only when they're
I
worth it.
A little different.
When they're worth it.
Yeah, exactly.
When they're worth it. The guy's in fucking Dubai because he's saving fucking children from fucking. When they're worth it. You know what I'm saying? When you got a famous guy like Matthew McConaughey on Rogan. You know what I mean? Like when they're worth it and you know you're never gonna get this again, you Zoom it.
Yeah, or when Joe Rogan interviewed Edward Snowden.
Oh, man, you're never going to get... Well, crazy. He's not allowed in the United States.
Yeah. No, I think he...
is he now?
They just got him.
He's back?
I think he's in jail, I think.
Oh, they just caught him? Yeah?
They just caught him, yeah.
Oh, they're going to kill him.
Unfortunately, yeah. I mean, I actually haven't heard that much from Edward Snowden in a minute.
Of course not.
But
why would we hear it?
Yeah. But anyway, my bad. Anyway, so the Zoom interviews, it was like a... It was cool because it taught me, like...
How many episodes you did on Zoom?
Yo, like,
because I'll be honest, I stopped my podcast because of COVID. And I wouldn't bring it back because I refused to go on Zoom interviews.
Like 5 to 10, honestly. It was like 5 to 10 interviews I was doing on Zoom.
An hour at a time?
More or less, yeah. Yeah, so I had to thug it out. It was cool. But like, it was amazing also because I got to network and meet a lot of amazing people. So for example, one person that we would have had to Zoom interview no matter what, her name is Sainata. She's a she's a radio personality for Apple Music.
Okay.
In London. She lives in London. So my co-host, I got in touch with her at the time, and like, you know, she agreed to be on a podcast. You know, it was COVID, so everyone was just at home.
They're considered ambassadors, no?
No, I would. She was like a personality presenter.
Oh, okay. So she's just a PR, like a media person for them, a representation of them in media.
Yeah. Well, she has her own show on Apple Music.
That's fucking awesome.
And she does interviews, and she has her own like
exclusive Apple Music.
Exclusive Apple Music. And she's in studio, like
fucker.
Like the way we're just talking about Charlie Sloth, like it's like she probably like
I got you.
She obviously knows Charlie and I don't know whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's amazing. So yeah, it was like it's I think it's like an 8-hour time difference. So like we had to wake up at like 7 a.m. to do it, which is like the earliest I've ever done anything or any type of like media, any type of podcast episode over there is probably like, you know, mid afternoon. But that was amazing. That interview went great. We also interviewed JL Shot That. He was Pop Smoke's music video director and videographer. And he also does a lot of videography and directing work for.
And you're getting all these guests by asking.
DMs, which is crazy. Like it's just it was wild. And like one, I feel like. There's two things that go with that. One, it was the time. So at the time,
if you wanted to get known, you're gonna Zoom.
Everyone wasn't doing anything.
Yep.
Everyone needed content somehow.
Yep.
So they're like, you know what? Let me hop on this guy's podcast. Yep. Whatever. It's fun. It's cool. Yep. I can do it from my couch.
Yep.
Like smoke a joint. Like yep. Do it from my car.
Yep.
Which is what JL's was funny because JL's was like JL's he was in his car. There was no interruptions. His service, I don't know what service he had, but like, his service was great. No buffering, no nothing. That was the smoothest like Zoom interview we've done. Like it was no, it was crazy. But
yo,
yeah, it was
yo, you phone companies, you guys should have took advantage of that.
Yeah, for real. But
you missed that.
But yeah, and that was right. You know, Pop Smoke passed away in 2019, so this is like 2020. This is like January, February 2020. So it was amazing just to hear like his point of view and like how he shoots things. And actually met JL in person recently at a photo shoot that I was doing.
Did he recognize you?
We both recognize each other. And I knew exactly who he was, but he looked at me and said, "Oh, like I kind of like know because we follow each other on Instagram, so like we know of each other, obviously."
That's not real, though.
It's not, but we know that, and plus, you know.
No, you know each other's faces.
I've grown in my career, so like he know, and like, we know the same types of people. So like, you know, like we came up to each other and said, "Hey, what's up? How are you? How's everything?" You know, like it was cool to see him in person. You know, so that was amazing. Who else? Abby Jasmine.
I know Abby Jasmine.
Abby's dope. We had her on a podcast. She was amazing. DJ Nolita. We also.
So now it's you and a guest. It's you and a host.
It was me, a co-host at the time, and then the guest. And everyone was on Zoom. So it was like a three-way Zoom.
Oh God. And who and who handled all your engineering work?
Me, pretty much.
Did everything.
I was doing all the production work. All production work, pretty much. Yeah. My co-host was responsible for like. Reaching out, coming up with ideas, coming up with questions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So he would do that, which was cool. But like me, like I was doing, you know,
all the media stuff,
production clips at the time. You know, learning how to do clips, learning how to edit, learning how to do stuff. You know, it was all like, it was a great time for me because like I was doing something, but then learning how to do it within the actual thing. Of
yes,
doing.
Yes.
So it was incredible. You know, so then at some point I did a podcast by myself. You know.
What was that looking like?
It was so. This was post. It was like.
What was that about? What was that looking like? And then like, how often did you do it?
So it was. So the name of the podcast was the Re-Up Podcast.
The Re-Up.
The Re-Up Podcast. Yes. So
what you selling?
Was that
what you selling?
What am I selling? whatever you need.
You Colombian. Stop playing.
Yeah. Right.
Stop playing.
Yeah, you know, I didn't think about that at the time when, like, I saw that title. But, like, the whole reasoning behind the title...
You don't seem like the type.
Yeah, well, shit, you never know.
You never know!
Yeah, so, listen, in this economy, do what you gotta do, man.
Thanks.
I hate.
Yeah, but, the whole purpose for, like, the title was that, you know, everyone needs a re-up on something, whether it's information or a break or information of some sort. So, like, when you re-up on something, you go back to it over and over and over again. To get something out of it. So the whole point of that was for like, okay, let me get a podcast to where I interview artists, entrepreneurs, people that are good in their field. That way people that are listening that don't know what they
podcasting with the group?
It was just at the time it was just me. Like I came up with the idea. And
no,
what
I'm saying,
just...
but were you still podcasting with the group when you started your own?
With my co-host?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I created it. It went from college radio to podcast. Brought on a co-host. Then that kind of fell off. Then I started doing it by myself.
Okay, so that had fallen off. Then you started doing it by yourself.
Yeah, and then so then. It made things a little more... It was always kind of complicated because, you know, it was like guerrilla style, just like shooting. I was setting up everything, you know, like record everything. Boom, sit down. Record everything again, you know, sit down.
Oh, yeah, you did it. You did it.
I was doing everything by myself, which thinking...
But you didn't record it. You recorded crazy. It. I mean, I did it the same way, though. Yeah. You know, stand up, press the record button, say 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, record yourself.
Yeah,
and
no,
then,
exactly. Yeah.
But how was it when you found another way? Like I found out that you can plug the camera straight to the computer and do OBS and just keep recording and not have to stop your camera.
Yeah, right. So for me, what started happening was that the school wasn't open. Like my school wasn't open. Excuse me, it wasn't open yet, so I wasn't able to go back inside to record in the school. So I had to look for a space to record out of. So I'd met somebody that. He would let me use his space, his apartment in Astoria, and I would pay him like, I think it was like 15 or 20 bucks, like an hour or something like that, which is cool because my episodes were like, I would make sure my episodes were like 30 to 40 minutes an hour
it's
top.
That's nothing. It's so an investment.
But he has a nice apartment. Like, oh, the apartment.
The ones in Astoria got 12 feet ceilings, baby.
Yeah. It was like a simple, small apartment, but like, it was like the really nice furniture, good lighting in there. It was great. He would even help me out with some production stuff sometimes. You know, he has his own clothing brand. A shout out to Witch Church, by the way. You know,
that's a plug.
Right there. Yeah,
that's a plug.
You know,
plug.
Yeah, no, he's doing great with his his clothing business right now, which is amazing. But yeah, so I would have guests in there and just like, you know, bring people in and just, you know, just do that all by myself and edit everything all by myself. And it was a cool time because, and then at the time I also started interning at a studio called IMI Studios.
Mm-hmm.
It's they're in the Lower East Side. They still exist. They're still doing their thing. Bobby Shmurda, Jim Jones,
mm-hmm.
Busta Rhymes. Like,
as an intern, what did you do?
Whatever they needed me to do. It was like pretty much like looking over booking sessions, cleaning studios, client services. I would assist audio engineers, which is where like I started learning more about audio back then. And just pretty much, and like, I would even do my own videography, my own like BTS stuff, back because
for you or for them,
because what happened was that, back during the pandemic so I was pretty much doing school via Zoom. So I really wasn't going to school. So I was just focusing on doing my internship and then just making it back on, I always had my laptop on me. So I would just do my schooling and that's about it. And then I started doing like some podcasting clients on the side. So that was like starting to like kind of rejuvenate. I was starting to like kind of get there more or less. But what happened was that they had sent me to like a different studio location that they had partnered with at the time called Fight Club Studios. Fight Club may sound familiar for a lot of people because that was they used to do a lot of battle raps at Fight Club.
Mm-hmm.
They closed down recently, unfortunately, but you know, at the time it was a you know, amazing studio. So my shifts back then were from 7 p.m. until
prime
2 a.m.
Prime time.
That's prime time for studios.
Prime time.
That's prime time. That's the best time for studios because like for some reason...
You would see everybody in that bitch.
For some reason, I don't know why music artists like recording late into the morning. I don't know why. Maybe it's a creative thing.
No, because in our DNA back in the days, I think I speak for the majority of artists. I think back in the days, you know, us human beings, we used to hunt at night. We were nocturnal. We used to move at night. We used to be with each other, move at night, keep the smoke on, attack our enemies at night when they're sleeping. I have a feeling that the creatives, the reason we have that vampire life syndrome in it, is because we're not daytime people. Just all together during the day, it's hard to move around and be more creative. At nighttime, when that sun is gone, sun drains you. We ain't Superman. The sun doesn't give us energy. The sun legitimately drains you. It gives you what your skin needs, but too much sun, you get cancer, right? At night, you never run into that problem. The moon don't ever give you problems.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
The
nighttime allows you to move around and do things. And I think that we adopt that presence as entertainers growing into... Yo, I would much rather shoot a podcast at fucking 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 at night.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
People are more chilled out, relaxed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I would even perform
or something like that.
Who
know,
the fuck is gonna go to a performance, right? Unless shout out to my Spanish people that go do fucking mimosas at brunch, and go to La Boom and watch DJ Enough and all these at niggas at 12 or 1 o'clock and all fucked up by 3. Shout out to you guys, but for the most part, nobody wants to watch a performance at 11:10 in the morning.
Nah, hell no.
As even as a fan, you like it at night, you know. Yeah, so as artists, I think that we just adopt that. We're jesters. We're jesters at the end of the day.
Yeah,
we're entertainers.
Yeah. So, but here's the thing. So I wouldn't leave at 2 a.m. because at the time, the subways were closed for maintenance, for cleaning during COVID, from the hours of 2 a.m. until like 5 a.m.
So you would stay there.
So I had no choice. It was either take an Uber, which like that's like $70 from an Uber from Midtown to fucking Queens. You know, I didn't have it back then like that.
What part of Queens?
Regal Park.
Oh, you're Regal. I'm in Flushing.
Oh, nice.
Holla.
Nice, man. But yeah. So and honestly, I was like, you know what? Let me take this time to like, you know, kind of like put in like OT hours, learn more.
And this is all the internship.
This is all internship. Wasn't getting paid anything, right? So like. So, you know what, I said, you know what, fuck it. Yeah, exactly, right, yeah. Again, looking back on it now, it's like, you know, whatever.
Why? Well, no, but do you have a little shiny certificate that stated that you put this work in for these people? Is it on your resume in any way, shape,
resume,
or form?
Resume, yo, your resume, absolutely. Well, all right. Here's the thing, so resume, definitely, I gained a lot of really good relationships from, like, the top-of-the-line engineers. People that I interned with became incredible engineers, music artists.
You made dope relationships.
No, I've made so many connections for myself that...
That's the value in your time.
It would have been impossible for me to make those connections if I didn't do
this,
right?
That's the value in the internship right
exactly,
there.
Exactly, yeah. So I would stay, and like at the time, I would edit, do my things, work front desk sometimes and edit, do... I was doing like a million different things, right? So what I would do also is that sometimes if like I was done working and... there's no sessions, all these engineers and producers would, they were also music artists, and they would also, you know, they would do their own music and do their own sessions. So what I would do is I would say, hey, you know what? I want to work on my videography. Why don't I just take like a BTS, like BTS photos and videos of yourself, you know, like fucking studio session.
You asked them for permission to do that.
Yeah. And plus they were all for it. They're like, yeah, bro, let's do it. You know, and I was friends with them. I'm still friends with them to this day. They're all amazing people.
Yes, keep those connections.
Yes, JB Frosty, Turbizy, Darius, Cash,
yeah,
Nina, you know, everyone, if Lego, Lucid, you
Lego
know, if you enter that Fight Club, you know, back like from 2020 to 2021, 22, you know, huge shout out to you, you know, all the people at IMI, you know, incredible people, you know, wouldn't be here. You know, my career wouldn't be where it's at if it wasn't for that experience. So that's, you know, that was amazing.
So you leave them?
So what happened was that so between IMI and Fight Club, they kind of had a split.
Mm-hmm.
So then like things just kind of started like crumbling down a little bit, like that internship. So but that internship for me had ended because, you know,
it's gone.
It had ended, and plus you know like IMI had given me like they had offered me a job offer to manage one of the studios,
and
but pay wasn't exactly there. Just, you know,
it was more work than it was worth.
I'm not gonna say how much they were offering me. I'll tell you
more work than it's worth.
I'll tell you guys off camera, but like, it was. I was just like absolutely fucking not. Like, I can't. You know.
No. You have to live. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Plus, at the time I was a college student, I'm like, I need to start thinking about my career and plus like life post graduation. Like, I can't just, you know, like do this shit for pennies no more, or for free for pennies no more. I have to, you know, like. I have some momentum going, and plus they knew what I was capable of when it came to media and podcasting. Because at the time, I was the only person at the studio doing that. Everyone else was either wanting to be a music artist, engineer, or producer. I was the only one really, like, out of all the interns that wanted to go more into the media field.
And obviously over the past 4 years, due to COVID and people staying inside their houses, media has been the this is people's homes.
Yeah,
this is people's homes
for sure. So then, yeah. So then, I leave that internship. I start doing my own thing. I start getting more clients for myself. I start like, you know, doing more podcasting. My cameras start getting like a lot better.
So you start podcasting as an engineer for people, and as a production manager.
So at the time, oh, I mean, even still now, like what I do is that like if you need someone for audio, I'll do, and you have everything else covered, I'll just do audio. If you need someone for just, if you have the audio covered and you just need someone like with cameras to like record everything for the video, I'll just do your video. If you need someone just to do clips for social media, I'll just do clips for social media. If you need someone, just do post-production and put everything together. I'll do that for you as well. It's just my services back then and right now is that whatever you need, I'll do for you. Mm. Like whatever you're lacking or whatever you need help with, you know, I'll do that for you. So that's like, so that's my whole, like, that was a whole, my whole business plan even then and now. It's expanding even more now because now, like, I got better cameras.
Of course.
Like now I got a Sony A7R II. Mm-hmm. Great, amazing.
Great cameras. Mirrorless camera.
Great mirrorless camera. Shout out to Sony. I got two other. I have two Sony ZV-1s.
How much was that? Like 25, 3,000?
I got it. Here's the thing. I got it. Because
these Sony cameras are looking a little ridiculous nowadays with their prices, bro.
I got a second hand from another videographer friend of mine that has a Sony that got a Sony A7R IV.
That's why.
So he said, you know what, like. I know you're looking for a camera. I'll give you this one. He gave me a very, very good price on it. The camera, pristine condition, pristine shape. Got some lenses. So got some E-mount lenses for it. It was great. And from there, I figured, you know, I'm not just going to use this $2,000 camera and, like, you know, along with the lenses, like, just for podcasting. Let me learn how
everything.
To do videography and photography. So...
So you shoot videos now, too?
I shoot videos now as well, yes.
All right. And after this pod, we got to talk. I need a music video.
Cool. Yes.
It's a job interview. No.
Yeah, I know.
He's doing great. You're doing great, by the way.
Yeah, appreciate it. But yeah. So then from there, like, I started kind of like intermixing services. Like, I had gained a client for the dispensary that was being run by somebody from the dispensary, like the owner of the dispensary, and his partner at the time was a NBA basketball player. Mm. And so from there, I would do their podcast, and then I would also do, like, their photography. Like, I would do some vlogs for them, some behind-the-scenes videos, all their editing. I was doing all of... I was... And again, like, this is where the growing pains kind of come from is because I was doing a five-man job and just doing everything myself.
I mean, who are you talking to? I understand exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, like, the difference is that when you're doing it for somebody else and doing it for yourself, there's a different type of satisfaction. Absolutely. When you're doing it for somebody else, the satisfaction is putting money in your pocket.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And especially if you don't have any... I hate when you work for somebody and they don't give you no credit. I hate when you do work for somebody, you do something for people, yeah. you get their podcast, you do shit, and there's no credit there. They don't have you as the editor. They don't have you as anything on there. It just seems like them and their friends talking shit, and it just look crispy. You know what I mean? Like,
sometimes it's annoying to, like, have to ask
especially
people, hey,
tag me.
Especially
you're not paying me for that, though.
Yeah.
If you're paying if they're paying me to stay shut, then I don't give a fuck. It should look fine. But if you're not paying me up to par and I don't get credit neither... There has to be a medium.
It should be both because I feel like even like nowadays with like, you know, like everyone, like if you're a Joe Rogan fan, you know who Jamie is. If you're, you know, like even all these comedy podcasts, like.
Yeah, you know, like,
you know who's running this stuff.
Doing that five-man job, did you charge them five times?
I should have charged them a little more. I'm not going to lie to you. Again, mm-hmm. This is the creative me learning and then the business person in me learning as mm-hmm. well. So like I definitely should have charged more, right, for like all that I was doing. But again, like. I was, and you know, it's, you know, it is what it is. It's growing pains. It happens, you know. I'm so grateful for the opportunity. And it was great because then I was learning how to do videos. I was learning how to do photos, and they were coming out really good. And I don't mean to say it like in a pompous way, but it was really good.
Talk your shit, nigga. It was your shit. Talk fly, your shit. Your shit fly. That's it.
Sell yourself.
It was coming out great because I would show it to other people. They would like it. Obviously, the clients were happy with it, and their content on social media was getting numbers. Like, they were reaching, like...
And that's what counts.
Like, it was, like, getting 10,000 views, 20,000 views, 60,000 views. Like, it was, like, on top of it being good... It was something that was like growing their numbers. Which mm-hmm. That's what I was really happy about because I feel like when you're creative and you're working for people or under people, yes, like your equipment matters. Yes, the quality matters. But then it's the execution and it's like, what is this content doing? That's what matters. So like when Russ hires Steve, right, as his videographer,
yeah,
it's not just because Steve is a good videographer. It's because Steve's vision and how he chops things and how he creates
executes.
Content. Is going to create numbers and get more eyes for Russ, for Annalise. What's her name? Annalise, the singer, the R&B singer that he works with.
Oh, yeah, Annalise. I know.
Like for her or like for anybody. So you know, so for me, I was happy that it was. You know, people were seeing it. People were seeing my work. You know, the clips were good. Like you know, I'd seen like my boy. He had sent me a screenshot of this Twitter vlogger or like this blogger on Twitter, like he had reposted one of the clips and this guy has like 70,000 followers on Twitter. So for me, it was cool to see that other people were enjoying my art, even if I wasn't getting like, even if it wasn't like at Mateo.
No matter, you know,
like,
it was yours.
Yeah, I know. It's, I'm like, damn, like that's me. Like I could, you know. So it was.
That's now, Neo writing all Mariah Carey songs.
Yeah, and I would see like the clips for that specific podcast pop up on like other people's feeds and like on different vlog sites.
Because eventually they're going to find out who it is.
Yeah, so and for me, it was great because I'm like, okay, this is what I'm doing is working. So if I just apply this for other people and apply this formula for other people with obviously some changes and some like adjustments, obviously, because you have
to progress. You can't have it look the same.
You got to progress. You have to progress. You have to, you know, be creative in your business, obviously, you know, so... That for me was great. So, you know, so the podcast ends, just, you know, like, that business relationship kind of like fell apart. And then from there, like the whole thing kind of like fell apart, which is, you know, shit happens, business.
So now you freelance?
So now I was always freelancing. So now I'm freelancing.
You have a lot of other gigs that you do right now?
I do other gigs. Yeah, I do other gigs as well.
I
so
see
like,
comedy all over your page.
Yeah. So so these past couple months have been cool because I've been getting clients like for my own accord that will do like single video shoots or photo shoots or like editing gigs.
So all this is people that you're in business with.
So if you go to my Instagram page, right, all of my content that you see that are quote unquote other people, they're people that I've done work for, and that's all like my production work. Some people get confused, like, oh, like, do you just repost people? I'm like, no, I don't repost people. Like, these are people that I've done work
for.
Who
are you talking to?
Exactly. No, plus like I'll put it like in my bio in the captions, like edited by @Mateo4.media.
Everybody go follow Mateo for Media.
Yes, sir.
I got you up here on the screen.
Oh, cool. Oh, yeah, there you go. Nice. Real professional.
You know what I mean? Look at his page. These all clients that he messes with. This is all work that he does.
Yeah, like some people get like tight at me because they're like, oh, like, I didn't know what you looked like. Because like all your work is just like other people. And I'm like, well, yeah, you know, that's because I'm not like so like self-indulgent.
It's not all about you.
But then, you know, like I've also learned that to like, you know, kind of like put a face to like what's going on. So like I will post more. I've been posting more photos of myself and videos of myself, you know.
You're doing what you love doing. You love creating the magic that other people sees. That from jump means that you aren't an egotistical person. You let your work speak for itself, and how your representation and how you're looked at and how you're viewed. You let your work speak for itself rather than your presence. Your work is your presence. Your work is your calling card. That right there speaks more volumes than somebody walking around dragging a big dick. You understand? It speaks more volumes when somebody doesn't have to show their face or talk much, but their work stands out. So, like, in my opinion, you're like it's a superhero role. Superheroes never ask for a person to say thank you for saving me. You understand?
That's true, yeah.
It's a superhero role. Yeah. You know what I mean? Superheroes just make sure the work gets done. And everybody knows they did it.
Everyone's brave.
That's it. And everybody knows they did it. You know what I mean? They don't got to drag it around.
Get a little bat signal. That's about it. Yeah.
I wanted to walk us out. Before walk us out, obviously when we're done, give me a drop. We'll talk to you about business real quick. And let everybody know what do you have coming in the future. I put your gram up, but if anything that you have that you want people to be part of, your services in any way, shape, or form, they heard your slew of resume that you just gave on this hour and a half conversation, which is great because I know that you probably have represented yourself in other places and you've been on, but I don't know if it's been, have you had a time to actually talk about you for a second? So for me meeting you for the first time, it was really great to know about you.
You know, I appreciate this, by the way, because this is actually the first podcast that I've done like as a guest to where I've been able to, you know, talk about my services and my and myself a little bit. Because, like, you know, I've gotten in this space of, like, even when I had my own podcast, it wasn't really about me. It was about the guest, obviously.
Yep.
And, like, I would just kind of, like, introduce it, ask good questions,
let it
conversation,
go.
But then let them do all the talking. Like, I don't, because, you know, you don't want to be a podcast host with a guest and be talking the entire time they say nothing. That defeats all purpose.
I think you're like the sixth or seventh person to say that. Like, oh, you're the first podcast that this for me. I'm like,
because people come here and they feel comfortable to represent themselves and talk.
Yeah, absolutely.
And not only that, we call them in here because we're interested. We genuinely call people in here because we're interested. We don't call them in there because they got a huge following, big numbers. Titties, or we need numbers. You know what I'm saying? Like,
we need more big titties.
Well, I don't mind big titties. but we genuinely call people in because y'all dope. Y'all dope, and we want to see how what makes y'all click.
Yeah.
And like for the rest of the other people that mess with y'all, this is the shit that they look for.
Right, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? This is the shit that they love to hear.
Yeah. So to sort of kind of close it out real quick, because I know I've been talking a lot.
Go, baby. Yeah. It's all been about you, though.
take your time, man.
Yeah,
take
so like, time. So my whole thing, like, for working with people, working with brands, businesses, you know, whatever it is that you do, you know, I love just kind of like being a mirror that like reflects what people's art and business and passions are. Like, I think for me, it's been a privilege to work with amazing. These accounts I've been working with, you know, I've been working with like fashion designers, real estate investors, you know, people that like do such so like it's a lot of random stuff and a lot of random genres, but it's all people that are passionate, like you guys, that are passionate about what they do. So for me, I love showcasing, broadcasting, creating content for people that love to do what they do and that they love helping people. So for me, my entire thing is that I don't really, you know, I don't really carry myself as like, oh, like I'm the director, I'm the photographer, I'm the producer. Like, no,
I'm him.
That's I really try not to. I try to like kind of like go away from that, because one thing I've learned in the film industry and like in the media industry is that when you're a producer or when you're doing anything behind the scenes, your job is to simply make a product look great. You have to be a problem solver. You have to make shit work. So
it's not about you in any way, shape, or form. Exactly. It's about your work.
Yeah, exactly. So for me, it's like, you know, whatever services people may need, editing or podcasting work, videography, photography, you know, just understand that like I'm extremely passionate in making sure that your business, your brand, your product, your skill set is, you know, portrayed within an artistic form that could, you know, reach other people and inspire other people. So, you know,
he don't want to say, but he's A1. If you need some shit done, media, video, podcasting, even consulting, he's charging you though. Hit the man up.
I have to.
And get it done. Exactly. Don't hesitate.
Yeah. So, hit me up at mateo.4.media on Instagram. I have my website's on there. You can either DM me.
TheReUpNetwork.com.
Yes, sir. Yeah, you can either DM me directly, yeah, or you click the link in my bio. You can email me for consultation, you know, whatever ideas you have, whatever questions you may have about your business or your brand or how to expand that within the digital media realm, you know, hit me up. Be happy to help you guys.
Let's go. Come on, yo-yos.
Thank you, everybody, for watching. Please like, subscribe. Thank you, Mateo.
Subscribe.
Let's go. And you already know.
That's incredible. I'm glad you like pulled up, you know, share your story, you know. Very possible collaborations, features, and anything.
Yeah, we're going to talk business right now.
Talking business right now.
Talk some business, okay? I got the cocaine, got the stuff.
Okay, this is What's Up, Everybody podcast. That's Mateo for media.
Let's go. I'm out of character, yo. Yo fuma mucho.
Peace, loving you, yo, you all.
Peace.
God. I found this thing, man. I forgot I burned this yesterday.
What you got?
It was like some slime.
I thought you put jizz in a cup. I was like, why is this nigga saving his jizz?
Glue and baking soda makes slime. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'm stupid. I just realized.
I'm not stupid. We don't make slime on the regular.
It looks like mozzarella.
It does look mozzarella.
Okay. I'm
you know that's how they make cereal commercials? They put glue in a bowl and they put the cereal on top of the glue?
They fake everything.
Oh, yeah.
None
of that food is edible.
And that's a whole nother, you know, that's a whole nother journey of making money. Shooting commercials,
yep. Yeah,
oh, for sure.
Starbucks condom commercial. You just shoot it and send it to them, and they pay you. Yeah,
yeah, fucking sure. Sick. Yeah, I mentioned that on a podcast, but like, I definitely want to get more into.